pictures to appear on the wall. Do I have to do anything? Yeah, it's good? Okay. All right. Well, we're going to do a lot of reading today because I want to talk about the topic of the Holy Spirit. That's a very big topic, and we can't talk about everything about the Holy Spirit today, that's for sure. But it is a good topic because it's often a confusing topic for people in our generation. What exactly is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? And so you can see up on the wall there are some verses that we're going to read to begin. And we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. And I want to encourage you to open your Bibles and to look at these verses and to follow along, because the Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we really need the Spirit of God to help us have a good understanding of the Word of God and also of the person of the Holy Spirit. So Genesis 1 and verse 2, right at the very beginning of Scripture, we read, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Psalm 139, verses 7 to 13. Psalm 139, 7 to 13. The psalmist is writing, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as a day, the darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb." John chapter 14 and verse 26. John 14, 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Chapter 15, John 15, verse 26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7. John 16, beginning in verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts 1 verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Then Revelation chapter 3 and verse 6. Revelation 3:6. "He who has an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And finally, Revelation 22 and verse 17. Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. We'll stop the reading there. Now, these are just a sampling of verses throughout the Bible from the very beginning to the very end where we read about the Holy Spirit. We read about him all throughout the pages of Scriptures. We read about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to spend time this morning talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. I want to spend time talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. But just in brief, to just simply say that he is described in terms of a person in the Word of God. There is one God, and that God is manifested in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is described as a person. He has intelligence, he teaches, he has a mind, he has feelings. We are told to be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit, and so that shows us that he has feelings. He prays, he does miracles, he can be insulted, he can be quenched or extinguished, he can be resisted, he can be blasphemed. The list goes on and on. He can be lied to. And so all these things show us that he has a personality, and he's described as a person, one of the members of the Godhead. He is, of course, God, equal with God the Father, equal with God the Son. And God has a plan to save people from their sins. And God the Father has a role in that plan. He sends the Son to do the work of salvation. And the Son has a role in that plan. He does the Father's will, and he humbled himself. He submitted to his Father's will, and he became a man, and he died for the sins of the world. And the Spirit of God has a role in that plan, and that is one of the things that I want to talk about today. What are the things that the Holy Spirit does today? We could talk about the names of the Holy Spirit, but there wouldn't be time to do that this morning. We could talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, because he was active and working and ministering in the Old Testament. Again, we do not have that time. We could talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ, because once again, in the life of Christ, the Holy Spirit is active. He is working. But I want us to think about the work of the Holy Spirit today, because I have a list here of 20 things that the Holy Spirit does today. And if I could figure out what to do. There we go. And so I want to talk about these 20 things, but I don't think we're going to get through all 20 of them today. And so I just want to give you a sampling. If we were to pull out a CV or a resume and see the work that the Holy Spirit is doing today, these things would be listed on that particular CV. And so the first one is found in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, as well as in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. So I want to read those verses. Genesis 6 and verse 3 says, "The Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. One of the things that this verse teaches us and tells us about is that the Spirit of God is involved in striving with men. The Spirit of God is holy, pure, righteous. And man is sinful, and one of the works of the Holy Spirit is striving with men, trying to help men to see that it is not wise to be wicked and to be sinful. And so there's a striving going on. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, we read that the mystery of lawlessness is already at work Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And so we can look at this verse and see that one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he restrains the wickedness of men. The Bible teaches about the heart of man being deceitful, desperately wicked. You and I do not really know and understand the depths of wickedness that we are capable of doing that are in our hearts. And so the Holy Spirit, one of the things he is doing is restraining that wickedness so that it is not as great as it could be. When I think of our world today, and I'm sure when you think of the things that have happened even in the news this week, not too far from here in Florida and in other places of the world where there have been tragedies and just terrible things that have happened, people who have lost their lives because of sin in this world, people who have paid a price because of the wickedness of others and things of that nature. It's often that we say that how long is it going to be before the Lord Jesus returns to this world? The sin in this world is so great, and it is great, and yet it can be greater. And if it weren't for the Holy Spirit who is present in the lives of believers and who is present in this world today, restraining that the amount of wickedness that could be, then we would really see what wickedness man can produce. And so one of the things that he does is he restrains the wickedness of men. One day he will be taken out of the way. One day he will be gone, and the wickedness of mankind will be focused once more and become ever even greater. So the work of the Holy Spirit today is he restrains the wickedness of men. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does today is he inspires Scripture. And so we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Peter speaks, and he says in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, "Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And then we can read also in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And so from these scriptures, we get that the Holy Spirit inspires Scripture. He is the invisible hand that was behind the prophets as the prophets wrote the Word of God. They were men, holy men, who wrote God's Word, moved by the Holy Spirit, and we have that Word in front of us this morning. In fact, we read about some of those men in the Old Testament that after they finished their writings, it seems to indicate that they would go and read their own writings to see what it was that the Spirit of God wanted to say through them and communicate about the Messiah that is to come. We read, too, that they read one another's writings. And so in the book of Daniel, chapter 9 and verse 2, we read about how Daniel was reading the scroll of Jeremiah, the prophet. And as he was reading it, it came to his understanding that the captivity that Judah was in to Babylon would only be for 70 years. And so they were reading one another's writings. And the reasons for doing this is because they knew it was inspired by God. God was using them to communicate his word to mankind. So the Holy Spirit inspires Scripture. It is one of the reasons why we say that the word of God, or at least we read it in the word of God, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Because the Spirit of God is there to breathe life into the word of God, and it can open the eyes of those that are blind, so that they could see what it is that God wants to communicate to us. And so he inspires Scripture. A third thing that the Holy Spirit does today is he convicts people of sin. So we read in John chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And then chapter 16 and verses 7 to 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And so the Holy Spirit is convicting people of sin. He's making the message clear. This is a message that is from God, a message that can be read in an academic way, a message that can be read in a literary way, but a message that God wants us to really take hold in our heart, to see the reality of a love of God, of the patience of God, of the pardoning of God, of his care for people who have rebelled against him. And so the Holy Spirit is making that message clear. And that is why it is important to read the Word of God, to quote the Word of God, to share the Word of God, because that's when the Spirit of God can make those words very clear. What truth is it that the Holy Spirit wants to make clear? Well, we read about it in John 16 and verse 8. He wants to convict the world of sin. Man needs to see his state of sin. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's verse 9. They don't believe that he has come to save people from their sins. They don't believe that he is the sacrifice that can take away the sin of the world. And the Holy Spirit is involved in making the message clear, convicting people that we are indeed sinful. When I talk to people in Poland and now in Portugal, but especially in Poland, I speak with people and it's easy for them to admit that they are sinners. But after more conversation, it always gets to the point where people will say, but while I'm a sinner, I'm not as bad as other people. Those people deserve God's punishment, but me, no. And so people don't really understand what sin is, and the Holy Spirit is active in this world to convict people of their sin. Man needs to see that he is sinful and that he cannot earn his way to heaven. Man needs proof that Christ can save people from their sins, and so they need proof that Jesus Christ not only died for sin, but he rose again and he ascended back up into heaven. And this proves his righteousness. This proves that he is someone who can save people from their sins. Man needs to be reminded that if he refuses to receive the Savior, he's going to face judgment and condemnation. Satan has already been judged. Satan's fate is sure. He is going to the lake of fire. He is going to hell, a place that was prepared for Satan and his angels. But God will send people there too. If we follow the rebelliousness of Satan, if we go away from God and wander away from him, if we do not love him, if we do not care for him, if we do not receive him as our Savior, then that place is our destiny as well. And so people need to be reminded that by refusing to receive the Savior, there is nothing but judgment that is coming. We as people can communicate the message. We can read the Bible. We can speak our words. But our word is not as powerful as the power of the Holy Spirit. So his job is to take the word of God and to make it clear for people. I've been amazed as the years go on, listening to people's testimony on how they got saved. And oftentimes there'll be a verse in God's word, and they'll quote that verse, and they'll say, God used this particular verse to bring me to my senses that I was in need of a Savior. And I think about the verse that is quoted here and a verse that is quoted there, and it doesn't really bring too much out for me, but it meant so much for them. That is the Spirit of God making the message clear to the particular individual at that particular time. And so he convicts people of sin. If Satan has been judged, why would anyone think that God would not judge us if we refuse to receive Christ as our Savior? I often marvel at the story that I have often told, and I tell it in many places, of a time in Poland when there was a lady, a Chinese lady, who came from China to Poland to learn English. And she was in our Bible study. She had an interest in the Word of God. She had heard about Christianity. There was a church in her town in China where she lived, but she had never gone inside it because she told us that to go inside it meant you had to pay some money. And so she never really understood Christianity or knew anything about it. And when she came to Poland, she had an opportunity for the first time to hear what is Christianity. And she was in our Bible study. And after time, it was very clear that the Spirit of God had opened her eyes and that she was understanding that she was a sinner and she was in need of a Savior. There came to a point when I asked her those three questions I've often spoke about. Do you need a Savior? And she said, yes. Do you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior? And she said, yes. Will you receive him as your Savior? And she said, no. There are many people who will refuse to receive Christ as their Savior, even though they realize that they are lost and in need of salvation. So the Holy Spirit's job is to convict people of sin and help them to understand their need for a Savior. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does today is he points people to Christ and glorifies Christ. And we're going to read that because these are important verses in John chapter 15, beginning in verse 25. Here we read in John 15, 25, but this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Verse 26, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And then John chapter 16 and verse 14. He will glorify me. Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And so one of the important ministries of the Holy Spirit is he points us to Jesus Christ. He's always pointing us to Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is what the sinner needs. If there's ever going to be salvation, then what the sinner needs is the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. People don't need tradition. People don't need rituals. People don't need other things of that nature. People need the Lord. They need Jesus Christ. They need to see that he is the ultimate sacrifice. He is the one that has paid the price, the penalty that you and I deserve. He is seated at God's right hand. He is on the highest throne of the universe. He is the center of Christianity. He is to be the center of the believer's life. He is the center of heaven. He is all and in all. And the Holy Spirit points us to him because he is the solution. He is what the sinner needs. And then for the believer, the Lord Jesus Christ is what the believer needs. The Lord Jesus Christ sanctifies the believer. The Lord Jesus Christ is a shepherd to the believer. The Lord Jesus Christ is a high priest for the believer. The Lord Jesus Christ is a mediator between God and man. The Lord Jesus Christ justifies the sinner and redeems the sinner. And the list goes on and on. And that is why at this assembly, at this chapel, and that is why in my own ministry, we preach Christ, because he is the solution. He is the one we need. He is the one who should be prominent in our minds and the focus of our hearts. So the Holy Spirit has a job, and that job is to point people to Christ and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you tell if something is of the Spirit or not? Well, one way you can tell is, did what happened, did this thing glorify Christ and point people to Christ? Or did it glorify ourselves or glorify something else or glorify even himself? He points to Christ. And that is one of the jobs, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit today. Another ministry of the Holy Spirit is that he regenerates and he gives life. And so we read about it in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, where the Apostle Paul is writing. And he writes this. We can read verse 4 for context. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And then again in John chapter 3 and verse 3, this is the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. And Jesus says to Nicodemus in John 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then we read again in chapter 6, John chapter 6 and verse 63. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." And so the Holy Spirit regenerates, gives life. The Word of God is involved in regeneration. When we read the Word of God, the Spirit of God is able to take the Word of God and open our eyes so that we could see the truth about ourselves and about salvation. And so the Word of God is involved in regeneration. But then there is new birth. The prophet Ezekiel spoke about a time coming, a time of new birth. In Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 14, God speaks through the prophet and says, "I will put my Spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." But in John chapter 3, Jesus speaks about new birth. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so the Spirit of God is involved in regeneration. I like to think of it and illustrate it in a particular way. Oftentimes today, when people talk about the benefits of coming to Christ or the benefits of salvation, they might add a list of things, the pros of why you should come to Christ, and they might add a list of cons of all the negative reasons why you may not want to come to Christ, and start comparing the list and see, isn't it looking logical that you should come to Christ? And so we think in our own minds, without any help apart from the Spirit of God, that we can simply make a choice. The Spirit of God is involved in salvation. And if the Spirit of God does not open the eyes of the blind, there can be no salvation. We can be thankful that the Word of God teaches us very clearly that the Spirit of God, that God's desire is that all men be saved, that all come to repentance. And so God is involved in bringing people to their senses, opening their eyes to see that they are in need of a Savior. I remember speaking to a man many, many years ago when I was a college student. We were on a college retreat, a Christian retreat, and I had somehow gotten to know an adult, a man. I don't really remember the details about it, but he was not a believer, and I invited him to come to this college retreat with us, and so he came. And at the beginning of that retreat, I said to this man, "Isn't it a wonderful, it really is a wonderful thing to be saved." And I spoke to him about salvation, and he listened, and that was about all. On the last day of the retreat, he had disappeared. He went off in the woods for a walk, and when he came back, he had a smile on his face, and he basically said these words. He says, "I'm in." And everyone understood that to mean that he had come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we as students were all very, very happy to hear that a sinner had come to faith in Jesus Christ. And after all the excitement of that died down, I was able to speak to him alone, and I said to him, "Isn't it a wonderful thing to be saved?" And his response to me, I've never forgotten. He said, "Mark, I don't like it when you say that, because it implies that I was lost. And I don't believe I was ever lost. I was just on a journey, and the journey led me here." The work of the Holy Spirit is a work to open our eyes, to help us understand that we are dead in sin. We are lost. We cannot save ourselves. It's not a matter of getting a little bit of help or being on a journey. It's a matter of needing complete and total salvation. And only the Spirit of God can bring life to you and to me. And so he is involved in regeneration. Regeneration brings with it a new nature. And there is fruit from that new nature, which is proof of regeneration that has occurred within. The Spirit of God gives life. Another thing that happens on job of the Holy Spirit is he indwells the believer. And so we read about it in various verses I have listed up there on the slide, but I just want us to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, Paul is writing, and he says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" And then 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. "The good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." Now that's just two verses of many in which we read about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, when we cry out to God for salvation, we cry, "Save me from my sins." That's what we need. We need salvation from sin. We need more than forgiveness. We do need forgiveness. But salvation is more than just forgiveness of sin. Salvation is being saved from sin. And that's what God's in the business of doing, saving people from their sins. Too many people have this concept that if they ask God to forgive them, God will forgive them, and then they can go out and live any way that they want, and they can enjoy sin, more sin, and just know God will forgive them again. Salvation involves more than just forgiveness of sin. God wants to save us from our sins. He doesn't want us to be characterized by sin. He doesn't want us to be saturated with sin. He wants Christ to be the thing that saturates, the person that saturates our mind and our hearts and our ears and our mouths and our feet and our hands. He wants Christ to fill our lives. And so the Holy Spirit comes inside the believer, the moment of salvation, and he takes up residence in the child, in the saved person's life. Regardless of spiritual condition, it happens immediately as soon as a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. It's not that God gives a measure of the Spirit, a part of the Spirit, a little bit at a time and tests you or anything like that. Nope, that's not in the Scriptures at all. When a person comes to faith in Christ, the Spirit of God takes up residence inside the person's life. That's amazing. I'm always amazed about that. My life, which was filled with sin, my life, which still struggles with sin, the Holy Spirit is content to dwell within me. What's he doing there? What's he doing inside me? He's cleaning me. He's sanctifying me. He's changing me. He's showing me where I need to abandon sin. He's pointing out things I've never even seen before in my own life. Sinful behaviors and things that I had no idea were against God. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives. If the Holy Spirit does not indwell a believer, it is evidence of not being in Christ. So we read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, Paul is speaking in Romans 8, 9, and he says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And so if the Holy Spirit does not dwell in you or in me, then it would be evidence that we are not saved. So one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is he indwells the believer the moment of salvation. How can a believer know that the Spirit of God is within him? Well, there's two ways to know. One way is to believe the Word of God, which says that it is true. The Word of God says that on the day that you came to faith in Jesus Christ, the day that you became a child of God, the day that you were regenerated, the Word of God says that the Spirit of God took up residence in your life. The second way you can know that the Spirit of God is in you is by the growth and the progress that is made in the believer's life. You know, the Word of God teaches that he who began a work in you on the day that he saved you, he will complete that work. And so if the Spirit of God is in you, he's still working in you, changing you, changing me. And if you cannot see or detect the Spirit of God having worked in your life over the past few years or something like that, then there would be a reason for you to wonder whether you are saved or not. So one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to take up residence within the believer's life. Another job of the Holy Spirit is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. There is something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Paul is speaking, and he says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." And so this verse is quite interesting. It's not speaking about water baptism. It is speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is not the same as the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And according to this verse, the Holy Spirit places the believer into the body of Christ. And so that happens the moment of salvation. When we cry out to God for salvation, he saves us. He regenerates us. He justifies us. He redeems us. And he places us into a body that is the body of Christ. And all believers are joined together into one body, the body of Christ. Even carnal Christians, as we read this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read that this is a letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. And early on in that letter, in chapter 3, he speaks about the believers in this assembly in Corinth as being fleshly and being carnal and not really being very spiritual. And yet we read in chapter 12 that they were all baptized into one body. We read about it in the book of Acts. We don't have a lot of time, and this is going to have to be our final point. But we read about it in the book of Acts several times. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and the gospel was preached, and 3,000 souls got saved. These were Jewish people who got saved, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and placed into one body, the body of Christ. We read about it again in chapter 8 of Acts, where there the gospel went to the Samaritans. The Jews and the Samaritans had nothing to do with each other. They didn't like each other, and yet the gospel went to the Samaritans. And when the Samaritans put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles were called, and the apostles laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, and they were placed into the body of Christ, Jews and Samaritans together in one body. That was amazing. Never have happened before. And then again in chapter 10 of the book of Acts, when the gospel went to a Gentile named Cornelius, and he and his household and all his friends were gathered together, and they heard the word of God, and they heard the gospel, and they believed, and they put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were saved from their sins, and the Spirit of God fell, and they were baptized into the body of Christ. And so now we have Jews and Samaritans and Gentiles all placed into one body. That was unheard of back then. Jews had no dealings with the Gentiles. They would not go into a Gentile home and fellowship. How can believers be one together? It happened because the Spirit of God placed them into one body, into the body of Christ. It happened only one other time in Acts chapter 19 when there was a group of disciples of John who had been waiting for the Messiah to come, and they did not realize that the Messiah had already came. And when they put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God fell one more time, and they were placed again into the body of Christ. And now, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is commenting on something that had already taken place and says that we were all baptized into one body. That is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, and that is one of the ministries of the Spirit of God today. Well, I wish I had time to go through this list, this complete list, because there are so many things that the Spirit of God does today. He seals the believer. He gives gifts to the believer. He fills the believer with Christ. He teaches. He speaks. He testifies and bears witness to Jesus Christ. He leads us and guides us. He comforts us. He empowers us and strengthens us for ministry. He prays for us. He sanctifies the believer. He produces fruit in us, and he abides with us forever. That's an amazing list of things that the Spirit of God does today. And it is a reason why we should be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit, but to allow the Spirit of God to do the work that he wants to do in your life, in my life, to let him work so that we could be more like Christ, that we could be more holy, more pure, and have a brighter testimony for Jesus Christ in this world. Let's pray. Our God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for him being sent down into this world after the Lord Jesus went up into heaven and sat down at God's right hand. A member of the Godhead came down here and has been here for 2,000 years, pleading with people to come to faith in Jesus Christ. We're thankful for that ministry. We're thankful for all that you have done for us. We're thankful, Lord, for a great salvation. We pray, Lord, that we would live lives that would not grieve the Spirit of God. We pray that we would live lives that would be pleasing to God the Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.